Dish and that.
Good morning, Shah.
Good morning, pineapple. Looking very good, very nice. Good morning to Prashant.
Oh my God. Okay. We're starting right off the bat.
This is our special guest for today.
Oh my God. Our third person on the
table. Apna Prashant.
Apna Prashant. I love Prashant. It's actually my favorite breakfast.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sadhvi.
For those who don't know, our close friend Prashant Iyer.
Oh, why did you say best and then you took it back? What's the beef?
Because we're best friends, Lisa.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I'm saving that spot for you. Mm-hmm. It's only reserved
Prashant,
for
Prashant, he got beef with you early in the morning. He was like our close friend.
Yeah. Shout out to Prashant and shout out to...
Shout out to our not best friend, Prashant.
And shout out to Croissants as well.
Croissant.
Lisa, we're doing a morning episode and we're having a nice spread of breakfast.
I love a spread.
And you know, this week on the internet, or this last month, has just been filled with breakfast items going viral.
That's
plus
right.
Also
routines going
morning
viral.
Routines, very icy morning routines.
Oh my God, that dude.
How you know, it's so funny because when I was in Goa last month, Dino was doing this at least twice a day.
Was he using Saratoga water?
No, he was not. He was using Bisleri. Actually, I think he was using tap water from Goa, from the Goa taps. But I feel like
that undoes the benefits.
It could be. And then he actually got a bunch of ice and a little bit of water. But he used to be like, bro, this makes you feel so good. It makes you feel young.
And it does, like, actually. So I will say there are benefits to using ice water. Tightens your skin. And your pores. Also, it's just like a nice shock to the system.
Yeah.
Like, you know, mentally you feel like I'm awake.
Yeah.
Whereas my morning routine is just like extreme disorientation.
Yeah.
I do not believe in an ice to the face morning.
And just like in the viral video, the way the guy jumps in the pool and
it takes him
like 4 minutes to jump in. Do you know, does the same thing? He jumps.
There's like a timestamp on that video where the guy's jump is like from 7:40 to 7:46. I was like, what?
You know what?
Well, how long did he jump in the air?
You know what's actually crazy? It's like, I remember when we used to enter in that pool, it would take me like a good like 10 seconds to like, you know, like talk myself into like getting into the water. And you know what? Just jump in like, oh my God, I feel amazing. I'm with nature. I'm
part of... So, by the way, have you done an ice bath yet?
I have not done an ice bath.
Oh my God, are you uncultured?
Am I basic? Am I just...
Are you poor?
Am I just happy with my body temperature and... You know?
Ice is free. It's just frozen water.
Really?
Yeah.
Ice is free. So the bags we get, you know, when we throw parties, we don't
just make that shit at home, bro.
We could actually. Yeah.
But I do love an ice bath. I went to my first temperature therapy. I'm forgetting the phrase for it. But it's like a
cryotherapy?
No, it's not cryotherapy. There's some word for when you switch between the two.
Okay.
And the whole thing is like an hour long.
Mm.
And it was like a 4 minute cycle
in
insanely cold water.
Yeah.
And then you switch to a sauna and then you come back and then you do it 3 rounds and you end on the sauna to complete. And in between, you're taking like a quick shower for 1 second to re-regulate your body temperature. Yo, I asked that dude. I was like, who does well in this? And he's like, consistently, women can last way longer, always longer.
In the different temperatures.
In the extreme cold.
Oh, wow.
Because I went zen. I got into that pool and I'm like, am I?
Is that because you guys
am
have
I
really,
God?
Really?
Am I better than everyone?
Is this because you have warm hearts or cold hearts? Aww. I don't know. I can't tell the difference.
Well, you know me. What a woman so heartless.
Ooh.
Yeah, but no, for real, that ice bath was really... fine for me. I thought it was because of Chicago, because it's cold as hell over there.
It's windy. Windy for sure.
But speaking, it was amazing.
Speaking of Kanye West, sorry to interrupt you there.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about my man.
I mean, I don't want to go too much into it, but since we were speaking about morning routines, before we get to the tough stuff about Kanye... Morning routine. Actually, good morning has been my... No. Don't do that to Admiral Kanye. Put him back. Good morning. Good morning has been my morning alarm track since probably 2012. I've been waking up to good morning. And I always know, like, I sleep through it. And then as soon as Jay-Z comes in on the ad-libs by the third verse, that's when I get up.
Yeah.
And it repeats, but that... Boom,
Such a good intro.
Oh my God. That just reminds me of the morning all the time.
That song, I remember specifically crossing the highway, listening to it. It had just come out like a day before the album.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, I have a very distinct memory of crossing from Illinois to Indiana, the tollway.
Yeah.
And being like, damn, what a song. But that's one.
Bro cooked.
I was like, Wake Up Mr. West by himself, he's so impressed.
Yeah. You got these motherfucker D's, Rosie Perez.
And it was such a good, this is my dissertation. Oof. Homie, this shit.
Basic. Welcome to graduation. Good morning.
Oh man. My God. It was a time. My morning song is very different.
Yeah.
It's Swimmers by 07.
Ooh.
Because it's just a calm way to start your morning. Yeah. I used to post a bunch of these videos. I guess I was the original morning routine influencer because I was doing this shit during the pandemic in 2020. I would post these videos of like making my coffee and like at this time I was listening to this song and then I would clean up my house and do, damn.
Okay, while we talk, I'm just gonna,
I think I'm better than everyone.
I've actually not eaten anything today, just gonna dig in. Guys, we have food. For our audio listeners, we have ordered a nice breakfast spread from both Java File and Masa Bakery in Juhu, very close to our creative producer's office. Shout out to Prachi Mushroom one time and her whole team. We are eating a fruit bowl, egg white omelet with feta because we're pure and healthy now.
That's right.
I will not be touching that sourdough. There is avocado toast with sliced avocado and smashed.
Damn, they were like...
Smash.
There's a 2-for-1 sale on avocado.
Yeah. And Apna Prashant from
Masa
Bakery with a pain au chocolat.
My favorite thing is the mini pancakes because they remind
me of a
dish I love, which is puri idli.
It actually does.
It looks like, it's
It actually looks
I had it for dinner two nights ago at Tanjore.
Oh, it's Tanjore?
Oh my God, it was so good. Because they dip the crap out of that in ghee. And it's so nice.
Yeah, they do.
Oh my God, that ghee in the puri idli is...
Shout out to Tanjore Tiffin Room one time. I love that that prawn sundal thing they have.
Bro, that's what we had.
With the coconut,
chunks.
Oh my God.
We had the prawn sundal and the puri idli.
Beauty. Okay, I'm going to start. Okay?
I am firmly a no breakfast girly.
Oh my God.
I don't like eating breakfast. I'll tell you the dumbest reason for this. Hmm. For some reason, I wake up and if I eat, I get tired again. Like, I feel like carb heavy or whatever, and then I get sleepy. So yeah. I used to avoid eating breakfast my whole life. Now, my breakfast has become very French because I want to tell you that I'm better than everyone. If we have not established for third time on this episode, I am better than you. And that's because I am French. Mm. So I have a prosciutto and a coffee now.
Oh, my God. Juhu apples. Are you going to have a prosciutto? Different. Mm. I'm going to have a small bite of prosciutto. No.
All right. Masa, okay.
No diddy.
Let me say one thing about prashants.
Yeah.
There is actually a definitive rating for me in Bombay of who makes the best prashant.
Really?
Yeah, because I have friends coming from Paris all the time.
Oh, yes.
And I did this like test on them of saying, is this, what do you think?
Yeah.
There's one place that they were shocked. They're like, this is better than Paris, which is Suzette Bakery.
Mm.
Suzette Bakery makes an insanely good prashant. So does Subco. And now we're going to test if Masa lives up.
Whoa, this pancake is incredible. Oh, my God.
It's good, but it's not that level.
Oh, come. I think I'm not one to have such a vast knowledge of prashants, but I will say there is this one bakery right next to Bougie, which is called Suchali's, which is from Calcutta, I think. They have amazing tarts and amazing like croissant sandwiches.
Hey,
you don't
have to call her a tart. She's a really nice woman.
What? I thought you were a feminist, Lisa.
That's
calling,
what I said.
Calling girls
don't
tarts?
Call her a tart.
Okay, sorry. anyways, great little snacks, you know, when you're, you know, normally when I would go for a walk on Carter Road, I'd walk past, be like, hey, should I pick something up?
Let's talk about why do we reward ourselves right after a good workout? Everyone's like, I deserve a little snacky snack.
Honestly, now.
Undid all the 10,000 steps.
My new routine now is, I was going to get to that. After playing paddle, having a kombucha at the Java File on Carter Road When the sun is shining and you're like looking at the sea and you're having, you know, your
kombucha. That's your brand, right? The Booch Bay?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a bit of a Boocha hoe. Like I try all the companies and I enjoy all of them and I endorse all of them.
He's got a Boochtation.
Even if a Booch brand offered me a lot of money, I'd be like, no, because I would like to try all types of Booch. And you know what's so weird?
Is this also like a metaphor for a woman?
No.
And dating.
That's actually what happened. So I put up post-paddle Booch the other day and my DMs were flooded with, do you know what Booch means in Marathi? Or Booch or something?
What does it mean? Someone
said it means female private part.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, also in general, there's a bad negative connotation to it. But I said, if you actually search what Booch means on Google, it says the hip hop community refers it to kombucha. So I was like,
good.
I'm bang on. That's literally,
there's another that's word literally that rhymes my with
community.
Booch,
then. That's my community. Yeah, but okay. Speaking of this, actually, her morning routine, every morning she calls me right after where like we've already spoken before going to sleep about some gossip, and then in the morning she has an update.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a 10 a.m. fill-in for Shah, and he's like, I literally just spoke to you.
Pause. A fill-in for
went out. I've only been sleeping for 4 hours. Why are you calling me with updates? I'm like, because a lot of shit happened in 10 hours, bro.
Yeah. In her dreams.
In my mostly my dreams.
Yeah.
Just my speculations about people.
Yeah.
Current events, you know. We'll kind of have like, a catch-up.
In general, I know my morning routine has kind of changed.
Okay.
I do actually enjoy waking up really early now. So the earliest I've woken up in the last kind of 6 to 8 months has been 7 a.m. so I can get to an 8 a.m. paddle game.
Yeah.
And honestly, the way I attack the day
after
having that rush of paddle and that adrenaline, and then at the end of the day, at least by 5 p.m., maybe I need like a little tiny nap.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, my morning routine, like I'm conquering everything by 1 p.m.
Agreed.
By 1 p.m., I've literally solved, you know, the hunger crisis of, you know, of the world. And I've...
As in your own hunger crisis.
My own hunger
crisis. He's like,
crisis.
I know what I want
of
for lunch.
Of my world. Of my world.
He's and like, I have figured out what I will eat for lunch.
And then... And I've had at least one or two coffees. And I've also just made my list and I probably, cut that list in half because I've already done all the tasks rhyming about this morning timing. And would you like to chime in?
No, you got to cut your whining. But my morning routine got a fan club, which is so weird. Basically, I was doing 90 hard, which is 75 hard plus 15 days.
Shout out to all the morning mysteries out
there.
Yeah,
all the morning mysteries. And then there was just a week where I was traveling to Mexico for my Nike campaign.
Floss.
Which is crazy.
Flex, Lisa, flex.
So we were shooting this Nike
campaign in Mexico.
We shot a Nike campaign in Mexico City. You can see the billboards as you enter C-Link now. I'm all over Bombay, which is sick. But because of that, the time zones changed. And there was a flood of DMs because every day for 2 months I'd been posting, I'm up at 5:30 and I'm on the courts to play tennis 6 to 7:30 a.m. And they were like, oh, are you quitting on us? Are you not doing your 6 a.m.? I'm like, damn, y'all are holding me accountable. And they're like, you fell off. You're not our favorite artist anymore. We're going to come light your house on fire.
It was what? Arson?
It was arson.
Early birds do end up getting the worm. But,
yeah, and they also have time to light a house on fire. And, there's so many
hours
in the day.
And work on their volleys and serves. Yeah.
But yeah, I think honestly, shout out to Racket Sports for changing our morning routine. Because I genuinely feel like now we found an activity and a hobby and like that's part of...
Honestly, the happiness that paddle gives me, and I wrote about this in my gratitude journal the other day, the pleasure I get of defeating an opponent... And like
I thought it was going to be something like the pleasure I derive from my routine and it's wholesome.
Defeating an opponent once a day and smashing on this person is just like there's no feeling like that.
I really love this part of your journey where you've stopped smashing in another way and started smashing in this way.
What's crazy actually though, I have realized I do have a bit of an anger. Like I need to manage my anger on the court.
Mm.
But like it's just internally, if anyone takes too much time on the court, I'm
you're
livid,
like, I don't have this. I don't have this energy.
Livid.
So but my, anyways, so our tennis group has this entire thing where initially they thought I was a competitive one. And now they've started self-reporting and being like, okay, it's not just Lisa. All of us are psychotic. And I was like, yeah, thank you. I just like rules. My thing is not that I think I'm better than you. My thing is follow the rules. Just do the thing you're supposed to do and do it on time. No time violations. No extras after you double fault. Like, let's just keep it moving.
Forget all that. Etiquette, people. Etiquette when you're playing a sport. Mm. Don't waste time in between.
Yeah, of course.
Move to your position if you're playing doubles.
I agree.
And get to move in. And also,
this is clearly, we've touched a very hot button topic.
Little things like also like now, you know, when you hit the net and it goes over and you win the point, you kind of apologize and say sorry.
That's right. That's part of racket sport etiquette. You're not supposed to celebrate on luck.
100%.
Because it is luck. If the ball could have gone either way, if it ends up on their side, you just say the classic tennis thing on television. You see every major athlete in the world, they go, sorry. It's nice. You know, you're learning sportsmanship. You're learning anger management. Speaking of, we're really learning how to adult.
Yes, finally. We are.
Some would say we're like, we kind of are old now. But like sexy.
I'm
old in like a sexy way.
I'm proud of us because both of us have
grown
the fuck up and even like entered new chapters of our life.
I know. It's crazy.
And the responsibilities have doubled.
Yeah.
But
I am not with child. But because it really sounded like this was a layup to announce a pregnancy or something. He's like,
you've been wanting to ship us and we skipped a step. We went straight to the
There's
baby.
A dish, baby.
Yeah,
no, that's not a thing. But no, I think we are because like you're expanding your work.
Yes.
And you got a new studio now.
Yes. So I am renting a new place in Bandra. Of course, I will not leave Bandra. Unless I'm doing the podcast for Prachi.
For Prachi, we love it.
And basically, I am starting my own audio production company.
First of all, aesthetics. This dude fucking knows what doing. Like, the space looks adult.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that dingy vibe that every... Let's talk about dingy studio
vibes.
Let's
talk about minimalistic, soulless recording studios, which...
You can't just drown a place in red light and be like, I have a studio now.
Honestly, I'm kind of guilty of I added two tube lights. My interior designer friend has been giving me shit for putting these tube lights. But at the
shout out to Pooja.
Yeah. For me, I think mostly all my best sessions have been in Goa where I'm in a nice villa and I have a nice view. I don't have the best view, to be honest.
No, but you have light, which people don't. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And in general, just like a comfy atmosphere, like you're at home. Like I look at the studio as an extension of my home, but also this is where I create. This is where I can have other artists feel comfortable to create and
also,
create that environment for them.
He has really good snacky snacks.
I have the best type of snacks. Got popcorn. I got kombucha.
He had Takis yesterday.
I didn't actually order the Takis. So Blinkit has been sending Takis for free.
That shit is so good.
And she opened it and I was like, oh my God, these taste
because he didn't realize
there were fake Takis.
Dynamitas.
They're the Doritos ones.
Dotakis.
Yeah, Dotakis.
But when I opened it, he'd never had it before. He was like, oh, that shit looks rank. And then he had one. He was like, yo, this is really
so,
good.
So funny. I kept it behind all the healthy snacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to.
But
yeah.
You have the iced teas, the kombuchas, the Diet Cokes.
I think I'm the most that I'm happy about of having this new space is that I told you about this. Like, whenever I used to mix at home till like 3 a.m., as soon as I would shut my laptop off, I would end up pacing around my house with my AirPods on, listening to the same mix for like a good 2 hours. And my work would not stop until, you know, I would be in bed falling asleep listening to the mix. Whereas now, I finish my work.
Work-life balance.
I lock up, you know, and I take a rick home, and it's super close to my house.
Eat a nice little
well.
Snack, go to paddle.
And no, I'm talking about 3 a.m. when you're finished, like your ears are gone. But then
he's first one on the court.
Yeah. But basically, yeah, you're completely right. Work-life balance, which I don't think I ever had, because I'm sure all bedroom producers and studios know that like having your desk right next to your bed is, it's also, there's plus and minuses to it, and you're able to create whenever you want to. You can wake up from a dream being like, oh my God, I have this killer hook and I need to go, you know, execute it. But at the same time, sometimes you don't know when to start or you don't know when to end, you know?
I firmly believe in separating the space because I've never had a studio in my home for this reason. Also, because it motivates me to like get out of my house
100%.
And be like, okay, I'm in a place of work. I can't dick around for 6 hours. I paid for my session time.
You can't dick around.
For 6 hours because I paid for the session time. I have to make use of it. Like it puts you in a routine. Like it trains you to be aware of the space and the responsibility towards the work.
I totally agree.
I am moving to my own place after 3 years, and I'm really excited. Yeah, and it's the first time I've had something interior designed.
Can you please eat some food?
I told you I'm not a breakfast person.
Have some of the avocado.
Okay, just I will.
Go for it.
So Prashant's wife, our friend, Prashant's wife, our friend, incredible interior designer, Kara Hem Designs, Sadhvi, is helping design my home. And it's been incredible because, like, the ultimate adult thing you can do is what you just described, right? Your own space. I'm choosing the paint color. I'm choosing to, like, create furniture and have, like, this bedroom is for this reason. This bedroom is for that reason.
Love that.
So I feel very, like, wow, this is the first home I'm making in Bombay. Everything else was a house. Mm. And even though, like, I had great furniture, I knew design. At no point did any of my homes before this look like they weren't thought out. But they didn't feel like mine. They felt like everything could just be moved in a day, you know? Yeah. And no part of me would be left behind in the previous place. So I like that I'm putting my own touch into this home.
I love that.
And obviously we're going to do a haven because you gotta get out those negative spirits.
100%.
First, like day one, you got to make sure that you're, you know, alert about your space, protecting the energy, protecting the space. So there's a lot of that.
And also you're back in the hood.
The happiest person.
She's back in the 5-0.
I was in the 5-4 for a little bit.
Yeah. Even she's back in the 4-0-0-5-0. Even my boy Rishabh is also these days always in 4-0-0. Actually, Rishabh is just all over the map these days.
Let's talk about Rishabh for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Shout out to Rishabh.
Shout out to Rishabh, who he was our person who films everything that we do. But also, oh my God, Rishabh's...
The glow up.
I was literally going to say his professional glow up into super like...
Superstar.
Superstar.
Superstar photographer and superstar content guy.
It's insane.
In general.
And also, I love... Rishabh, how old are you? 23? Yeah, he has the energy of a 23-year-old.
Jordan energy.
Jordan energy. It's a Jordan year. Energy. That's a big year. Yeah. So I love a 23-year-old who's like, well, I had like an hour between the other set that I was filming, so I just got 200 pictures of you too. And I'm like, you could not pay me to do an extra task for my own self. If somebody was like, hey, there's 10 minutes extra. Do you want to run through your set? I'd be like, have you heard of naps? But when you are past 30 and your bones hurt, you're like, no new tasks, no extra things. Whereas he's like, I have 12 extra bones.
I love that.
I was going to say pterodactyl. Sorry. Pterodactyl. What am I trying to say?
No, but he do be running around.
Polydactyl.
Like actually, quick funny story. I actually met Rishabh for the music video I did called Hustle Hai at Pillay College in Navi Mumbai. And
what year?
This is 2021, I guess. And
you were like 12.
Yeah. He was 19. But basically, long story short, I had a BTS guy then.
Hmm.
But Rishabh was the BTS guy and the main content guy for that college. And he was running around behind my BTS. So we made a joke that he's the BTS of the BTS.
The BTS of the BTS.
And he had his own BTS guy as well. So it was full BTS inception.
The BTS metaverse.
But then I saw how hungry this guy was that day. And I fired my guy.
Bichara,
and I was
like,
you are my new BTS guy. And he's directed videos for me. We've done photo shoots. He's done my last two album shoots. Yeah. He's doing our podcast. And he's working with the biggest artist today.
It's mad.
Sidhe Moth. He's on tour with Sidhe Moth. And he's also... He's shot literally every big festival, he's there.
I know, because he was at Lala and he wasn't even my video person. And he's like, I got pictures of you too. And
even,
I was like,
I remember
my little child is growing up.
Me and Prachi were at NH7 in the crowd, like going crazy. And YG's performing. And suddenly I see Rishabh.
Oh my God, I know.
I see Rishabh behind on the big screen. I was like, come on.
Bro, Rishabh got the best shots of everybody.
Yeah.
So if you if you're at a show and you see Rishabh with a camera,
smile.
You never know where you're gonna end up on what page.
You're on Candid
what.
Camera.
You're honestly on Rishabh's camera at all times.
Shout out to Rishabh. Big
I
love,
always
bro.
Feel like Rishabh is watching me. Breaking news.
So off camera, we were just munching on our avocado toast. How is the avocado toast, by the way?
Oh, it's so avocado.
It's so good. The avocado quality is insane.
Is it walnut? No, there's a chestnut.
Hazelnut.
I don't know what morning properties this has.
But it also has pine nuts? No, sunflower seeds.
It's so yummy.
Love that. Breaking news off camera right there. Our creative producer, Prachi Mashru, just told us about this new innovation within the music industry. Serato DJ has paired up with Apple Music to create seamless, music sync between the Apple Music catalog for DJs to, you know, instantly and seamlessly
live mix,
which is amazing because I am a strong advocate for DJs.
Requests?
No. For requests and pull-ups. But also, I am a strong advocate for more originals. Like, I'm really tired of mashups and remixes. And I tweeted about this. I'll throw up the tweet. I remember saying, like, dude, just play the fucking original. Like, sometimes, like, just classic hip-hop songs, you don't need the drop and the... You just need the fucking original, man. Like, it's so underrated today.
I'm sorry. Before we even continue, what do all of these words mean? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Original songs. Like the,
No, but that...
Yeah.
Boy just asked me, do you know what an original
song
is?
What are you talking about?
About, so, like, the tech behind this. What does it do?
So, what it is normally when someone is using Serato, right? Every piece of music that you are able to load up and play is what you have on your computer or on a drive.
Oh, so they have the catalog of Apple Music, so you can download live.
Yeah, which is some groundbreaking stuff for DJs. So
my earlier joke was correct when I said you can take live requests.
Yeah, take live requests. Yeah. Exactly what it is.
Because nothing in the world that the DJ wants more than 25 people shouting at him, play this one next.
I'm not even lying. I've seen so many DJs be nice enough to rip off something from YouTube right then and there and play it because their laptop is right there. It takes them 2 minutes to do it. Shout out YT to MP3. I use it all the time. All of us do. But I'm saying it's modern. It's, you know, at the end of the day, I don't like requests unless it's, you know, that's your boy or whatever like that. You know, like, I've also, when I used to MC for a lot of DJs in Mumbai, like Social and Rasta and all these places, we used to get, like, notes passed to us saying, play this Bollywood song or play Justin Bieber or whatever like that.
Mm.
And it's annoying, but we've all been there on the other side of that. We've all wanted songs played
and
shit,
right? This is a way to actually monetize the music again.
100%.
Like, artists will get paid. Yeah, well, artists get paid because before they were getting rips off. YouTube
like
converter.
Five, six pesos.
YouTube to MP3 converter is going to be out of business now because Apple Music is going to pay people
for their
songs.
But that is a good perspective, to look at it in that way that it does.
It's a stream.
And you know what's crazy? There's a bunch of websites where basically you can buy mixes of other producers and DJs. They're selling their mixes online and stuff. So it's like, technically you are paying for the music, but in some ways, like within the DJ community,
but I'm sure that's what's next.
System. There is a system. 100%.
I'm sure that's what's next is to 100%. Monetize mixes.
And shout out to all the DJs who are, you know, constantly, just think about it, back in the day, like people used to lug around like vinyl crates and like CD bags and, you know, like,
to be fair though, that's the real art.
That is real art.
I love seeing an actual disc jockey.
I love that. I don't think we have enough of like all
we
vinyl.
Don't. People who actually
all vinyl sets.
It's an art. Yeah. It's like an actual
shout
real
out
art.
To all the real turntablists and the record and vinyl enthusiasts.
Yeah.
And true
that shit's
audiophiles.
Hard work.
Yeah.
But yeah, very cool.
Very cool. Also,
I finished my entire avocado toast, so I feel
I was literally begging her to eat breakfast, and we just spoke about all that.
I mean, we can circle back to now. I feel like circle back.
Kind regards.
RGDS.
Yeah.
Regards. Yeah, because I'm an adult now, so I eat breakfast, I guess. And yeah. Again, I would just like to remind everyone I am better than them.
Yeah.
Because the glow from the avocado that you guys are going to experience, like my skin going through, you're going to, I mean, be blinded by the routined human being that you're witnessing right now.
Before we switch the topic, an email sign off that like stuck in my head from the last week. Someone sent me an email and the sign off was smiles. It made me smile. I'm not
going to
lie.
Gen Z.
Smiles, comma. And the name.
I like a rigid, cantankerous old person going...
Cold regards.
No, not regards. It's yeah, just like yeah, best. Yeah. Best comma. That's how I sign
best.
Everything. Best. Not even like sending my best. Sending you... No.
Yeah.
Best regards. You gotta just be like, this is official. This is an email. Otherwise, it would have been a text.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you to smile. We not friends.
Hugs.
You owe me money. I sent you an invoice. No smiling out here.
Give me my money. Lisa, there is a TV series on Netflix that we need to speak about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
A limited series is what they call it. Four episodes. I've been saying on our group chat, I've been telling them on our group chat, guys, watch this show.
You and Soupy were the first two to watch it.
Honestly... This show blew my fucking mind as well as the rest of the world.
Yeah. For many reasons.
It is called Adolescence. If you've not watched it, I'm pretty sure everyone's watching it right now. So spoiler alert, if you've not watched it, we're about to break it down for y'all.
Yeah.
But what I would love to say, first of all, from someone who's been behind the camera and in front of camera, like full props and respect to what they did on that show.
Fuck, it's crazy. The choreography of movement and mind and everything.
50-minute episodes. All in one take. Multiple guys, you know, camera operators.
Handing
off to each other. Drones flying across towns. And just
in
general.
Can you imagine like taking a handheld rig and then passing it on to clip onto a drone and using a stabilizer and making sure that's crazy.
That's easily a $30,000 to $50,000 camera. Yeah. For sure. Like a proper red camera.
And
like,
if you don't hook that thing onto the little airplane and it falls.
The little airplane.
That little airplane is going to crash that camera. Uh-uh.
Oh my God.
But it's crazy. I mean, the execution of it from a technical standpoint, that's wild
to me. Incredible.
And I'm seeing every single major filmmaker, an industry person in India is writing about the show.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of it is the discourse around, why can't we make stuff like this? And I agree. I'm just like, you know, I'm so tired of seeing run down, played out narratives and the assumption that we're too dumb to ask for something more. I mean, our audience is not dumb.
Not at all.
They deserve better programming. They deserve well-written stories. They deserve innovation. Like, I'm so done.
I don't even want to make it about Bollywood because I know they'll find a cheesy way to copy this. Sorry, I have my...
Bachpania.
Yeah. but I think... Jawani.
Jawani.
Yeah. I think, honestly, what I love about that show is... Before we get to like the actual themes and what it is. What I love about that show from the technical standpoint, the style of storytelling is, I remember they said this in one of the interviews, it's like they're only revealing what they show you, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like in a normal TV show where you can cut, show another scene, which, the backstory of these two people speaking ends up coming to this. It's everything you're seeing in real time, which is so crazy because... I think
it's the first person POV of somebody as if they were just in the room the whole time.
And you're the fly on the wall, just following everything that's happening. And I thought, like, you know how in certain shows they put little nuances which will keep coming back. Like, so Ashley Walters, who plays the main detective, you see him at the in the beginning talking about how he has to eat apples to get over cigarettes. And then throughout you see him
eating apples.
Eating apples. It just shows you that it is really in real time. Like you feel the urgency of every little thing.
Yeah.
You know? And
everything is intentional, everything is written out, and like so in order to execute a show like this, not only talking from a technical standpoint, for an actor. Right?
Oh my God.
I get asked this question a lot and I might get crucified for the answer, which is what's harder, music or acting? And I used to always say music because it's me writing my story, pouring my heart out to a live audience, letting them have an opportunity to judge that, you know, to whatever degree they want. Mm-hmm. Whereas an actor, the script is written for them, the director's directing them, the light guy's doing their thing. And I said the only asterisk I put on that is theater actors. Mm. Because the challenge of executing something live at a high level all the time automatically makes it much harder. 100%. Right? So it's like that, but on film. Because so that's when I was watching this, I was like, you
more
know,
expensive.
You have to be so well versed in your character as an actor to pull
be
this
the
off.
Character.
You have to, and you know, all this stuff about people being like, yeah, bro, you know, I'm trying to be the character. I'm doing method. There's nothing more method than the way the show was done.
Mm.
Because if you're remembering this guy who has to eat an apple in every single shot because that's his motivation for the next shot and the next shot, that you don't get a second cut.
Yeah.
You're just like, that's your mental continuity. That's your emotional continuity. I think it's so impressive to have been that 13-year-old kid.
Wow.
And
wow.
To first of all, let's not even get into how insanely good an actor he is.
Yeah.
But
for someone, for his first role.
For his first role. Ever. And to find the motivation to be that character and to execute that part of, you know, a murderous child's life.
Yeah.
And to tap into sociopathy, because like, what does a 13-year-old normal kid on his first acting job know about being a sociopath? But he nailed it. That little moment where he goes, ha!
Yeah.
And this grown woman in her seat is like...
And then he goes, do you like me? And
it's just, it's and that's a sociopath. It's crazy.
The way he,
and then she just like that one tear that rolls down her cheek the minute he walks out of the room because she'd just been holding it in.
No, the way he swerves in and out of
oh my God.
That role of... feeling like a kid and who's like,
it
like
wasn't
kinda
me.
Scared,
yeah.
But at the same time, also so confident, slamming his hand on the table,
throwing the hot chocolate. It's
100%.
Crazy.
But I think the most impressive role for me was
the dad
from Stephen Graham, right? Stephen Graham, yeah.
I think creator and actor.
Also
the
lead, one of the leads.
Yeah.
But I think in that last episode, for him to be. Mm. First angry at, you know, like first with his wife, he's playing around and he's, you know, kind of seductive with her. Like it's his birthday.
Oh, the last episode.
Yeah. It starts like that.
That's a tough watch.
Then right away, he's, you know, dealing with graffiti on his vandalism on his car. Mm. Then he's, you know, motivated to like fix the day. He goes in the car. He cheers up his family. He gets to the fucking supermarket, and that kid just ruins
his
mood.
His entire thing.
And the way he fucking just changes.
Yeah.
As soon as his after like throwing the paint and chasing off the kids.
And there's so many.
Wait.
Yeah,
before I get there, when he gets into the car and his son calls, and the way his whole aura changes into like. The like defeated father, that is true like diversity in 50 minutes, all in one take.
His range is crazy.
I don't think you'll ever see something like that. You know, like the only other crazy fucking movie where I've seen that is Wolf of Wall Street. Leonardo DiCaprio on the phone call, realizing the Quaaludes have just. And he goes from paranoid to just can't even fucking form a sentence or
but
crawl
imagine
to the car.
The difficulty of carrying out an hour of this range versus having 35 takes as Leo.
100%.
So it's crazy because there's also that underlying sort of what is his motivation in every single part of that episode.
Yeah.
Like he starts off his day, he's in a good mood.
Yeah.
Then there's this whole moment of being like, I failed as a father.
Yeah.
Because the call from the penitentiary comes.
Yeah.
And it's this sobering thing of like, that's why they make you sit through it.
In fact, the entire episode, they don't even mention the kid or anything up until that point.
Yeah. He gets one letter. Yeah. And so, and you know, it's his son's birthday card letter because he stares at the envelope, which is addressed to them from jail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then again, you're reminded of that. And they make you sit through that phone call because that long ass intro from the penitentiary. Where
you're
they
now
say,
accepting a phone
you're,
call.
Yeah,
phone.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The collect call. So that's there. And then, you know, the kid realizing his sister and mom are in the car, which embarrasses him even more.
Yeah.
Like, so then you have just a second because he has three lines in this episode. But somehow they're able to make you change your brain to think about how he must be feeling, realizing
his
mom and sister are there and his sister's choking back tears to ask him about his day.
About his day.
And it's just wild, the whole arc of
that
the, you know,
heavy.
Yeah, and there's a really beautiful moment where they have this 20-minute talk about have we failed as parents, and they're both constantly saying, no, we didn't. We didn't know. And, we didn't know. Yeah. And then they have a beautiful opportunity to, the writer had an opportunity to remind them as characters, you haven't failed, which is in their daughter. Because she dresses up, she shows up, she wants to make the day better.
Yeah.
So that's when you're like, you didn't fail as parents. You can't control everything that your kids are up to. You just don't know what's going on. Because if the daughter turned out to be this caring and this empathetic towards her parents, then they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Which is actually the scariest part, the theme of this entire series is you just don't know what your kids are consuming and what they're up to.
And what's crazy is there's probably not really a big age gap between the daughter and the son.
Probably about 3 years.
But that kind of shows that the next generation, the younger generation, is experiencing life through their, you know, their phone in such a fast pace, in way faster than how we, you know, discovered things on the internet and, you know.
And also not realizing the permanence of death, like, in that split second, you made a decision to take somebody's life, but you as a 13-year-old can't understand that you just killed somebody with a K. Yeah. That's wild. I just was, you know, it's so tenderly written for such a tough topic, and obviously goes without saying the best executed technically I've ever seen anything on screen.
I'm not gonna lie, I honestly thought he was still innocent at some point. Till the very end, I was still waiting for, we just found new evidence that it was actually not you and it wasn't him on camera. But that's why I think the storytelling was so good, because you're constantly waiting for what's happening next.
Can we please
to figure out,
wrap
to figure
a bow out, around it and make it better?
Yeah, to figure out actually what am I looking at right, you know?
But that's the thing. This was never a whodunit. It's a whydunit.
Yeah.
And finding the motivation for the killing and the context is so much more important. Because Stephen Graham did this interview, I think it was on Colbert.
Yeah.
Where he talks about the reason they made this series was in the span of just 1 month,
two
separate
incidents
exactly like this had happened in London with two really young boys having killed girls in their school.
And knife crime in
and
the
knife
UK
crime
is
had gone up.
Insane.
And his whole thing was like, it's from what we're consuming and the culture around, you know, masculinity and hyper masculinity and teaching boys that, like, you know, demeaning woman, harming woman, possessing woman.
Even the last point I'll make
is the right thing to do to prove that you're a man. And it starts now. The real point of that is it starts this young.
Yeah.
So
even the last point I'll say is the whole emojis thing.
Yeah. Which honestly just made me feel old.
Yeah. No, I think this happens a lot where, you know, there's always new trends on the internet, new terms that we're constantly learning. Like, I was asking them what the hell skibbity means. I really don't know.
Still don't know.
Prachi, do you know what skibbity means? No. I'm glad you don't know.
Does anyone in this room know what skibbity means?
Okay, cool. In general, that always happens where the internet will you know, find new ways to like, just kind of educate you on what's the new slang and lingo. But the whole emojis of the different color hearts, what they mean, plus the whole incel thing and all
that. The red pill.
The red pill, all that stuff. This happens so much on the internet because you want to start using all these new terms just to feel more involved and not feel left out. So I think what happens is it's like a lot of pressure, plus also bullying does, you know, result. It does result in bullying, because if you're not, like, the way you see, like, boomers and millennials breaking down Gen Z humor today is because Gen Z, like, kids are, like, so proud of all those slangs and lingos they're like, oh my God, you don't know what this is, you don't know what that is. So in weird ways, it's like generations kind of bullying each other. And the same way we will bully, like, if we see someone wearing a Metallica t-shirt and we'll be like, oh my God, have you even heard Metallica songs, you know what I mean? So
I don't know any.
It's generations kind of like battling each other for like their territory.
But I think also just generations having a complete lack of understanding of each other.
Yeah, and I'm saying that territory thing of like, you don't understand us. And right now, honestly,
it's like Gen the biggest Z, version of that.
Gen Alpha, all these Gen Y or whatever, Gen X, Gen Alpha.
The youngest ones.
The youngest ones. I'm saying this is their, the internet is theirs.
Yeah.
Like, it's not ours anymore.
It's the 12, 13, 15-year-old.
Like, ours was MySpace, Facebook, Bebo, all those type of things. And Instagram has been our, you know. Like, for me, I look at Instagram as the music industry. Like, when you want to announce something, that's where you announce it, right? So.
But for them, it's TikTok.
For them, it's TikTok.
And now there's something new. There's got to be, like, it's got to be, like, Snap or something.
But it's...
The point being that, like, yeah, of course you can't know everything and watch over everything, and you can just do your best and hope that the world doesn't ruin your kids. And, like, I think part of the difficulty for me right now, we're talking about adulting and everything this morning, and it's tough because I want kids, and I'm just so fucking scared of where I'll go wrong and what I won't catch on time, and God forbid anything happens to that little life, you know?
I don't think I want kids yet. I definitely...
You heard it here first. We're not having children.
I look at all my, you know, all the music I do and the videos I do. Those are my babies. And I...
Are you sure? Because Arjun asking for Prasad is fucking adorable.
I'm gonna play that clip of my nephew asking for Prasad. He found the cheat code of, you know, asking for
prasad. If you do your puja, then you can ask for prasad.
He goes, prasad? So, and now prasad? Okay, but I'd like to wrap this very heavy morning. We actually ordered a fairly light breakfast, and it ended up becoming quite heavy. But I think this show, and also, like, the content that is coming out today, like, there's a lot more... the content that's coming out today is making you think way more about what we're doing online and what the effects are on our generation and future generations. And, like, I'm thinking about my nephew, you know, stepping into this. Like, he's not even in
He's not even Gen Alpha. He's in that generation yet, right? Yeah.
So I know my sister is, like, raising him well and not, like, Coco Melon. Oh, my God. That needs to be banned. Apparently, I've heard Coco Melon has, like, weird... Like, they... These... Sorry. Quick point.
Damn, we about to trash Coco Melon?
Coco Melon and all these kids shows, what they do is they've, like, have scientists figure out how to grab kids' attention.
Oh, like subliminal messaging and shit.
And literally every time they notice that a kid, like, when they test new episodes on kids, as soon as the kid, like, moves away, they'll add more lights or more music to bring it back. So there, and I've seen my nephews just.
I'm
like,
Dora. If you subscribe to Apple Music now for $4.99, it's cheaper than getting a package deal. Bye bye now.
Honestly, like, I really despise Coco Melon. I despise Coco Melon.
Yeah. Back in the day, Dora just made you wait while that blue button was about to be clicked. He's like, do you see the red mountain?
It's right there.
It's lit, girl.
It's literally right
there. Turn around. I can't. I'm two-dimensional.
Thank you so much for watching Dish In That. Please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like, comment, share. Follow us on Instagram and all of our private pages. And, you know, appreciate your attention. And
I'm paying attention.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you too.